Hey, welcome back to the Mark Moses Show. And joining me right now to continue the conversation on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is a gigantic Buccaneers fan, and he's my good friend Jerry Durney. He joins us every week. Jerry, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to the concern-trolling performance I'm about to get.
Look, I'm going to talk Buccaneers all season long, and I talk Bucs every season during the fall. This is an interesting one because they went all in. We're getting Tom Brady, we're getting Gronk, we're getting Leonard Fournette, we're going deep in the playoffs. This is it for us. What did you think of the performance last Sunday as they lost there in New Orleans?
That is exactly what I said it would look like. That's what I feared it would look like. And I said this for months, and everyone said I was crazy, that I was a bad fan, and all these things. And that's exactly what it was going to look like, and no one listened to me. So
you didn't think they were going to win the opener. Is that what you're saying?
No, I said they still needed to catch the Saints. The Saints have been one of the, at worst, two best teams in the NFC for the last, 3 years now? Mm-hmm. I still felt they were a ways off from being that. And we clearly saw that play out over four quarters on Sunday. I mean, this is exactly what it is. They didn't have a preseason to get into rhythm. You know, Brady said he's had the same playbook for 20 years, and now he's got to get this down with less training camp than usual because of COVID, no preseason because of COVID, and they kept bringing guys in. And also, what was the point of adding Leonard Fournette and LeSean McCoy if we were just going to keep giving it to Ronald Jones for 2 yards all day? I did not see the point of that.
I didn't see it either. And I agree with you. It's going to take a couple weeks. No preseason. Not even those like scrimmages against other teams. Like nothing. They just threw this together. And the Saints are really good. And you know what? If they would have started with the worst team in football, it's like they win. But I actually, in a sick and twisted way, I'm happy this happened now. And then they can get off their high horse, and then they can have a chip on their shoulder. Is that fair to say, Jerry?
This is extremely funny coming from someone who was ready to jump me last week because I said the Bucs were going to finish 9-7 and not make the playoffs. And now you're all the way over on my side. And I got to say, this is some 2009 Darrell Revis-level backpedaling.
They can't. Okay. They can't go 9-7. That's not good enough. Now, Tom Brady did not come here to go 9-7. He did not. He came here to prove a point that he doesn't need New England, and he can do great things without Belichick. 9-7's a failure in my eyes. That's all I'm trying to say.
You just don't accept it because, you know, Tom Brady is a content king, and now he's in your market, and God forbid the Bucs just continue to stay middle of the pack, which is very much in play because that's what they've been for 12 years now.
You know what?
Like I said, I need to see it. I need to see it before I can go, yeah, this team's going to go 13-3 and be in the Super Bowl. I need to see it.
Hey, if they want to go middle of the pack, give up big plays on defense, and then throw pick sixes, they should have just kept Jameis Winston. Like, what was the point of getting Tom Brady then?
I've been saying.
I know. All right, who do they have this weekend? I got to look this up. Is it the Falcons? Is that who they're playing?
They have Carolina.
Oh, they have Carolina. I'm sorry. I knew it was an NFC South opponent. All right. The Bucs should win this weekend. They should handle Teddy Bridgewater. They should get it done. But if they go 0-2 and blow this game somehow, is it massive panic button time for Buccaneers Nation?
Why wouldn't it be?
You're so angry. You're so angry about this.
No, you're angry. You're projecting it onto me. I said this was going to happen. No one listened to me.
Are your Buccaneers ever going to be good in your eyes?
That's what I'd like to know.
What about the Saints last Sunday where they're up 2 scores and then they're doing trick plays with Taysom Hill and then they're trying to score another touchdown and then Michael Thomas hurts his ankle and might be out this weekend? What did you think of that final drive by the Saints?
I fail to see what the Saints' issue is. Like, take that up with the referees and the Vikings. That's not on the Buccaneers. I don't know what that static was about.
When are you going to believe in this team? Like, what's it going to take in your eyes, Jerry?
When they're in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Mark the time and date. It is the 17th of September. He does not care what happens the whole season. He wants to see a playoff game. Is this correct?
The last time the Bucs were in the playoffs, Tom Brady was completing a 16-0 regular season. I would like to get there.
Okay. All right, I'm trying to remember. All right, so 2007, Jeff Garcia's your quarterback? Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who were his wide receivers? Joey Galloway?
I think Joey Galloway was still there at that point. I think. Did they have Antonio Brown yet? That might have been the next year.
Yeah.
I think Ike Hilliard was there. I think.
Was Mike Allstott still on the team?
No, I think he just retired.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time. Then you had the Josh Freeman season. Was that, what year was that?
2010.
You went 10-6, didn't make the playoffs with Raheem Morris. I think that's correct. Yeah. I think that's it. So, last time winning season, 10 years ago. Last time in the playoffs, 13 years ago. Yes, I am depressing you. All right, I'm going to say this one more time with Jerry. Mark the time and date. He wants to see a playoff game before he's impressed by anything. All right, we've said it. All right, are you at least happy the NFL is back? I can ask you that question.
For as much as 2020 can be, sure.
I actually like the broadcast where you just cut out the fans in the stands. And then you pump in the crowd noise. It's not bad, the broadcast. What do you think?
I actually appreciated on Monday night with the Giants game that they didn't overdrive it. It's like you heard more of the actual stuff on the field. And, you know, let's just be honest. That's what it really is right now. So I'll take that.
I started 2 days ago. We're here with Jerry Durney, my good friend. I think the Giants are going to ruin Saquon Barkley, and they should just trade him right now for a first-round pick. What is your thoughts on Saquon?
I think they could only get one for Saquon.
Maybe you get more for him. But what did he run for? 5 yards in the opener? Like five? Really?
I remember he got like Barry Sanders comes coming out of college. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, there will never be another Barry Sanders. Well, no, it's happening now. This was Barry Sanders a lot.
Yeah, I know, where he just plays on a bad team. I understand. It's just like, I don't believe in Daniel Jones. I don't think the Giants are going to be good. I think they're going to lose at the Bears. They're going to ruin Saquon Barkley. It's just ridiculous with that guy. I don't know. We're here with Jerry Durney. I don't think you want to talk NFL with me. Is that what I'm getting right now?
No, I told you these things when he signed. No one listened to me.
All right,
You did exactly this. You did the same laugh, and we're going to get to December, and it's going to be like, wow, they're middle of the pack. Who saw this coming? Oh, me?
You. All right, well, should I really depress you by praising the Miami Heat? Would you like some of that action?
Well, this is the number one Miami Heat show, so sure.
Uh-huh. What'd you think of that block by Bam Adebayo against Mr. Jason Tatum the other night?
Well, I know you were doing backflips.
Come on, man. It's a great play. Give him that.
What I'm not going to do is sit here and go, wow, isn't it awesome that the Heat are great again? Well, I'm really happy for them. No.
I love this is turning into the hardest interview I've ever done on this show. Because you're drinking the haterade. You can't. All right. Here's my next question then, you jerk. What about the Denver Nuggets? They defeated the Clippers. What is your take on that? Because you have no horse in the race, so what is your opinion?
Well, I mean, I would like to see Denver beat the Lakers because I'm not trying to see Dwight Howard get a ring, but I will say, I think we do have the question answered. I remember after the playoffs last year thinking, can you win if Jamal Murray is your second best player? I think you can. What I really would be interested to see Denver try to do when this season's over, sell high on Michael Porter Jr. while you can. I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is right now. When someone's got back problems at the age that he did, you know, maybe he can be functional, but we've seen him have some really good games in these playoffs, and credit to him, he called out the coaching staff and the team after Game 4, and everyone rightly got on him for that, as they should, but then the coaching staff basically said, all right, you want more touches? There you go. Do something with it. And he did. And, you know, what's interesting to look back now at the 2018 draft, and it'll kind of get forgotten about as time goes along because we're going to remember Doncic and Trae Young from that draft the most. Mm. But when the college season for that draft started, Michael Porter Jr. was the consensus number one. When he was going to Missouri, it was, oh, yeah, this kid's a generational talent. You know, he can score whenever he wants. He had all the physical gifts. And then I think he played, what, 3 or 4 games in college because his back was causing him trouble. And that's why he slid to the back of the lottery. But he's that kind of talent. But if you're Denver, can you truly go into next season rightfully thinking you can win a title regardless of whatever happens in this series against the Lakers? They can go into next year thinking, hey, with Jokic and Murray, we got a shot. Can Murray be the third piece that you consistently count on when you have those health issues? And for as good as he can score, his defense is not there. Do you try to sell at your peak and maybe go get that third guy that helps put you over? Because I think they're missing that now. For as good as Porter is, I think they can get somebody to get them over the top. They're not far off. Remember, they were maybe a couple plays away from the conference finals last year. They're in it this year, and who knows? Maybe they push the Lakers. Maybe they win the series. We don't know. But they can absolutely go into next year thinking, we're maybe one guy away from a title. If I'm Denver, I'm making some calls.
All right, so your thing is Michael Porter Jr. is a good player, but he'll never be the man. Like, he won't be a one. But
and can you count on him to be? Can you count on him to hold up to be a one?
So if you trade him, let's say you're Denver's front office, and people are very high on him, and I agree. Everyone's high on him right now, and he's your third option. What type of player do you want? I mean, it's like, are you getting a superstar? Are you getting like a Gordon Dragic type player? What would you want if you're Denver, Jerry?
Well, I know you would have traded for Gordon Dragic. I mean, we've made that abundantly
Heck
clear.
Heck yeah.
I would say Bradley Beal, but then again, that doesn't really solve your defensive issues because, you know, Murray's not really stopping anybody and Bradley Beal's not. But it might be one of those things that if you ask around and say, hey, you know, we've got Michael Porter Jr. available, you know, who wants in, you never know who might just pop up and say, you know, not that Phoenix would ever do this, but like maybe a Devin Booker pops up. Like, something like that where you're like, oh, we can get him? Or, you know, maybe it's a CJ McCollum type thing, you know? And I don't think Portland would do that because, you know, it's well established that Dame wants CJ there. But, like, maybe you get one more guard or you get that wing that – or even just someone who is maybe not as offensively explosive as Porter but can get you 16 to 18 points and lock the other team's best wing up. And maybe that's what you need.
All right, I got
it's one of those things that I don't think you really know his value until you say, I wonder what I could get for him.
Yeah.
And seems to be a, well, now that you mention it.
Okay, hypothetical. Let's say you're the Orlando Magic, and they call about Michael Porter Jr. Hey, give us some of your players. Would you take Michael Porter Jr.?
I mean, what you want to do is bet on another wing that has iffy injury records. I mean, that's a good move.
Just to spice it up, I might take the chance on him. I mean, at least he's playing. But you're right with the injury concerns. All right, let's say if a Russell Westbrook, and we've had this discussion in years past, or James Harden, after what we've seen in the playoffs, if you're the Magic, would you say, the hell with it, let's try it with our core? One of those types, or a Chris Paul. Would you do that type of move?
I don't know if the Magic would be in for Chris Paul just because I think Paul at this point, I mean, he's what, 35? That's why Milwaukee made the most sense to me because I don't know if he's the guy that fixes them, but they're maybe one more guy away. I think you get Chris Paul if you think you're right there. That's why Houston went and got him. And that's why you're here in the market turn back up for him after that playoff series. You hear that, you know, maybe it's Milwaukee that needs to go get him or one of these other teams that could go do it. If you're the Magic, maybe Chris Paul helps bring along your young guys and toughens them up and kind of shows them what the league's about. But, I mean, they're more than Chris Paul away from being in contention.
I think yesterday was Aaron Gordon's, like, 25th birthday. I think that's correct. It's something like...
Yeah, he's been in the league 6 years.
Unbelievable. I can't believe that. Did he come in at 17? It's just, that's what it feels like, man. It's so crazy.
So if he's 25, then yeah, he came in at 19.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
I want to say he was the youngest player in the league when he came in.
Yeah, he really was. How many coaches has he played for in his 6 years? Can you do this off the top of your head? Ooh.
I think his rookie year, I think Jack Vaughn was still here.
Yeah.
And then he got fired. So, I mean, do we count the interim on that or no?
Who was the interim? Was it, what's the guy's name?
It was Borrego?
Who's now the coach?
Charlotte hit? Now.
Yeah. So you had him?
So it's him, Skiles, Vogel, and now Clifford. So five.
See, that's the other problem. You can't have that to be a successful player if you're having that many coaches. I can understand two or three, but like five after a while, it's a lot. It is. Should Denver, LA, should it just start 3-1? Should we just take some days off and then just say, all right, Denver, you're down 3-1. Should we just do that?
Sure. We can break down a series and see how stuff matches up. Or no, we can just say Denver's down 3-1.
Just say Denver's down 3-1. That's when they start playing. That's the number one thing. And let me tell you, those Clippers, I said this yesterday, Jerry, they completely gave up. They just like, ah, whatever. And they did it for three straight games. How does this happen? Did they just quit? What is it exactly with that team?
You know what's interesting to me is, I don't agree with it, but I've seen people say that that's worse than the Warriors blowing their 3-1. And I don't agree with that because of, like, it was the NBA Finals and there was so much more at stake. But people pointed out, like, they had a double-digit lead, and I think they were up at half in every game. And I want to say only one of those games finished in single digits, maybe. Like, Denver won by, what, 20 in Game 7?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
They were down double digits in the second quarter in Game 7 and then pretty much got within two by halftime. Like, it was already happening right before half. And then they just took it to them in the second half. And the thing is, Golden State was a champion. They were the defending champions. They won 73 games, and they're battling against LeBron and that Cavaliers team. And even Game 7... You know, it came down to, what, a three-pointer by Kyrie, and they lost the game. They lost, but they didn't go down and die every game.
Yeah, it took LeBron and Kyrie going off. Like, what, there was one of those games where they both had 41. Mm. Like, it really took the Draymond suspension to swing that series. This?
Yes.
Like, could you even really point to a play where it was like, oh, they were done there? Like, not really.
Should Paul George, should he never use the term playoff? What is it? Playoff George? What's his nickname?
Here's Playoff B. Here's the rule. You don't self-gloss. Exhibit A.
He was terrible. He really was. How many picks did they give up for him?
See, here's another thing we can revisit, because people last year were like, oh, that's crazy. Like, why would you want the Clippers first-round picks? They're going to be good. They could both leave next year.
Yes.
And remember, they also gave up their first-round pick this year to the Knicks for Marcus Morris, and I think they have the right to pick swap next year with them, too. So I think the year was that they don't actually own their first-round pick until 2027. Like, this, I mean, I don't think they'll leave because they're both L.A. guys, but if they do, like, that trade could be Garnett Pierce to the Nets level bad.
Yes. I agree. Look, I could see them leaving, going to the Lakers in free agency. I could see that happening, where anything's on the table. I really could. Like, just the eye test, Jerry. Like, the Heat look like they play like a team. I never saw that from the Clippers. Not once. Where guys are high-fiving. Never.
People kept saying all year, it's like, yeah, the Clippers probably should beat the Lakers in a series. And I kept thinking, when have we seen it? Like, on paper, yes, the Clippers probably could have beat the Lakers, but like, they never looked like a team where, you know, where they could reel off that 8 or 10 game stretch where it's okay, yeah, that's one seed material. It never really happened. No. So I'm surprised that it unfolded the way that it did, but am I completely shocked that the Clippers lost in the second round? I can't say I am.
No, that's their MO. every team they put together, they lose in the second round. So, what else is new? And I'm sorry I have to say this. I'm going to sound like an old man. You guys have done enough load management now. You're now going to get another 5 months. Go win something. That's just my opinion with this team right now. If you're going to bring it back, let's go. Show some heart out there. I know I sound like an old man. I'll say it again. You guys are good. That's what it needs to be. Let's end with this.
Very Kendrick Perkins-y.
Yeah,
very
it
Kendrick
was. Perkins-y. I know, because I'm just like, come, enough of the load management. All right, do you like baseball? I want your thoughts. I know your Mets have new ownership. Thank God. You could be a Mets fan.
Well,
we know. What?
Well, not totally there yet. Transfer of power hasn't happened yet. Let's make sure they get there. This is the Mets. It could all go to hell next week.
I don't know if I like this playoff bubble for the postseason of baseball. I don't know if I'm into this. What about you?
It's what has to be done. That's why, like, all the rule changes this year, I get. Like, people are jumping up and down about the extra inning rules and the 60-game season. What I'm not on board with is them keeping this 16-team format going forward. This year, I get it. It's 60 games. You know, things are what they are. There's a purpose to it. I get that. What I don't understand is if you're going to have a 16-team playoff, why are we playing 162 then? If that's going to be, you know, the idea going forward, that I don't get. Them doing a bubble, everyone else is doing it. Like, the NHL's done it. They haven't had any issues.
Yeah.
The NBA's had any issues. Ask the Neil House what happens if you break rules there. So, the MLS, they did their thing, had no issues. So, I get it. If, you know, their whole thing was they wanted to get to the postseason and they wanted to be done by October like usual. And if this is the means to the end to make that happen, then okay.
It is going to be weird. And I was talking about this yesterday where it's super old school. Remember, you've only been playing teams, like if you're the Mets, in the NL East, in the AL East. So let's say you make the playoffs. You're going to see a team you've never seen before here in 2020. It's going to be really wonky at first, which might make it even more exciting, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, none of the matchups, at least in the NL, I mean, I think the 1-8 would be the Dodgers-Giants, so they've seen each other. But,
yeah,
like, the playoff field as of today, it would be Cubs-Phillies. They haven't played each other. Braves-Reds, Padres-Marlins. The AL, I know it does line up against the divisions. Like, right now, I think, like, your White Sox would play Cleveland, the Rays would play Toronto, and the A's would play the Astros. So those guys have seen each other. But yeah, once you get into like the second rounds, yeah, this is going to be the first time that they're getting looks. And generally, you know, with most of these guys, they've seen them before. What'll be interesting is how the rookies handle it, where it's, you know, if you're the Marlins and you play the Padres in the first round, none of these guys have faced Tatis. How are you supposed to deal with that?
No, I don't like this 1-8 matchup, and it's Cleveland-Chicago. No. That's not good because I honestly think White Sox, Indians, Twins, I think one of those three teams can get to the World Series right now. I'm not kidding. I think all three of them are good.
Well, I mean, your best route. Well, right now the Twins would play the Yankees, so we know how that series would go.
That's a good point. The Yankees are only built to beat the Twins. That's all it is. It's all they can do. And you know what? You bring up the Marlins, I didn't even laugh because the Marlins are going to go to the playoffs. It's the craziest year. The Marlins couldn't even start the season because of coronavirus, and now they're probably going to get in as a wild card. That's the season. Okay. Jerry, my man, thanks for your help as always, and have a great weekend. Okay?
Thanks as always, Mark. Stay safe.